Luke 7, verse 30. Well, that's in 29, we need to talk that once again. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God. Now the word people there, and all the people, it's the word that means the common people, polis. And there were, it's not, and it's all the people that heard him and the publicans, the tax collectors, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against him, themselves being not baptized in him. So the whole idea, you will accept the counsel of God if you understand baptism. You will reject it if you don't. Doesn't matter whether you get wet or not. It means you understand that baptism is your burial. And it buries your mind and your emotions. So you don't get in trouble like Mr. Chisholm. You just bury the whole son of a bitch. Never to believe it again. Amen? So you came back for this, huh?
Yeah, I did. I raced back.
They rejected the counsel of God, not being baptized.
So they didn't have a choice, actually. They couldn't hear. What could they do but reject? It didn't make sense to them. Yeah. No choice of hearing.
They heard, but they rejected. Let's go back to look at, I want you to hear. Let's go back to Matthew 3.
Last week we talked about if you get baptized, you can hear because you accepted your death. The Pharisees don't accept.
Because they didn't repent.
They have to repent
before they can be baptized. They heard and rejected repentance. Well, let's look at that. Matthew 3. Why do I feel like I'm going on a rant today? I really appreciate that, Ronnie. I don't know what I'd do without you.
You're passing muster.
In those days, Matthew 3, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," or is here. "For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and honey, wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan." Now remember, this was between, in the days of all, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Jews baptized at this time every year for hundreds of years. But this time, John, who was the most respected man in Israel, a Nazarite from birth, the son of the first order of the priesthood, first prophet in 400 years. We have nothing in our society to compare. "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan." Why'd they all go out? Because they wanted to get baptized. It was an honor for them to be baptized.
Is this including the Pharisees?
Everybody. They wouldn't have gone out there if they didn't want to get baptized. So listen to what happened. "And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Now remember, they had to cross the Jordan River, walk to the other side, confessing they weren't worthy to be called or be in the kingdom of God. They had to be then buried in baptism. They did the fetal position. They came up out of the water as if they were born again. Can you imagine, though, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers when they saw what John was doing, when he was causing them to go to the other side of the Jordan? See, they all believed that by their birthright, they were eligible to be in the kingdom of God. And they had to do something extremely bad to not be, just like born-again Christians today. They believe that conversion is what God wants. God doesn't want conversion. He wants discipleship. Conversion is the very merest of beginnings. It's like a newborn babe. So here we go. You can't even imagine what these guys thought about that. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, they came to his baptism but stayed on the Israel side of the river. He said unto them, O sons of the snake, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And you bring forth fruit meet for repentance by walking to the other side, saying you're not worthy to be in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You understand that now?
Yeah, that's a recognition that you're not worthy. But they don't think that, do they? They think they're worthy because of their birthright.
Right, and because they were the leaders.
Yeah.
Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance. Now that is the fundamental thing that Jesus said of him, the greatest man that has ever lived. Greatest man born of woman. And what was his message? Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Obviously, you have to bring it forth first in yourself. If you don't do that, then you're going to just say, well, I'm just waiting for God to do something. You'll be waiting till hell freezes over. If you don't know by now the vanity and emptiness of your own life, you're a fool anyway. So you might as well just go listen to somebody else. Go listen to Joel Osteen teach you how to be a champion for Jesus. Amen?
But you said they heard, they rejected.
They heard with their ears. They heard with their senses. They rejected it because they didn't cross over to claim.
Yeah.
They still thought they were worthy.
In essence, that puts them out of the game, because as we talked last week, you hear when you're baptized.
No, you have to hear repentance before you're baptized. And in the baptism, you accept your death. Then, you, for the first time, you can hear.
Exactly.
Okay. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our, or as our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Go down to the First Baptist Church and tell them that. God is able to raise up of these stones those that accept Jesus as their personal Savior. You understand that? And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. The axe is laid unto the human race. No more to be tested. No more to be dealt with. No more warfare. Unless you're trying to keep the human race alive. Then it's constant warfare. Also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat into the garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, back to Luke 7:30, verse 30. They rejected the counsel of God. So we're going to spend some time on the counsel of God. Let's go to Isaiah 5. Did I ever tell you the pages of my Bible stick together?
Yeah. Get a new Bible?
I have a new Bible. I'm afraid if I use it, its pages will stick together. I'm going to save that for important people, Ronnie.
That's the risk you have to take.
I swear not to lick your fingers. It's possible that you have a no level.
You're going to go to your grave and that Bible's just going to be still sitting in a box.
Hmm?
You're going to have a
do you have any other words of wisdom?
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Verse 8. Isaiah 5, verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Sounds like Dallas. In mine ear, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of Homer shall yield an epeth. In other words, you plant a whole bunch, but you get very little. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that say that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the viol, the tabret, the pipe, and the wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall be descend into it. And the mean man, or the everybody know what mean man is? Here it means obscure. In other words, even the most obscure are going to partake of this. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Let's say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. So again, the counsel. Everybody wants to know the counsel of God, and nobody wants to die. Can't happen. You can't know the full counsel of God without your death, because it's hid from flesh. All right.
Yeah, that's like quite faith, wanting to know without believing.
Yeah, everybody says, "Oh, I'm a truth seeker."
Yeah.
You're a truth seeker until you find a truth you don't like. All right. Let's go to now Isaiah. Isaiah 25.
I turned exactly into it.
You're such an example to the rest of us, Ronnie.
Well, thank you, Olive.
O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The message has never changed from the time of Abraham, from the time of Abel until now. It's always the same. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 28. We seem to spend an awful lot of time in Isaiah. Verse 23. Give you ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cart wheel turned upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn or bread wheat is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Now what is all that about? All those things, cumin, fitches, wheat, bread corn, they're all necessary for human life, or they're all used for human life. And they're a parable about how disciples are treated.
How disciples are treated differently.
Everybody isn't treated the same. So you're not, that's why you have no wisdom if you compare, Jeff. Amen?
That's where you get people who say it's not fair.
That's the F word that's not allowed here.
Right.
And when I do that, I'm being offended, and that's a...
You fall from the strong city.
Abomination, yeah.
All right. But again, it's the full counsel of God. And this is what we're studying. All right, let's go to... Let's now go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 46. This, I remember the first time I read this one, it really blew me away. Verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Now, why did that blow me away? Because I recognized in that scripture that every smallest detail of that exists in all of the universe was by the determined will of God. This is when I first saw there was no such thing as free will. And it happened just a few months after the conversion. I was hinted at conversion, but I didn't really understand it until this. Every smallest detail of your life has been wrought in you by Christ Jesus. Every detail of every person that has ever lived, every single hair, everything is by the determined will of God. There's no such thing as permissive will, which is a common teaching these days. There is only the determined will. Permissive, the teaching of permissive will teaches, creates sloth. Now, this may not hit you right now, but it will. When something happens and you think this is, oh my God, that's exactly how it should be. And if you think about it, if let's go to Colossians real quick.
Interesting, because this puts you in the position of judging God.
Yeah.
Because when you look around, you don't like what you're doing all the time. God is this.
That's why Jesus, or God and the devil are in a great battle. No, they're not, you silly asshole.
So it definitely takes being offended and making assumptions out of the equation.
Whatever you just said.
Yeah.
Where did we go on that road?
Colossians 1.
As usual.
Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. To be a partaker of it, not just a witness of it. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's everything in this universe. Everything in time and space has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated, actually it says transfigured, us into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his love. It's already taken place, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated yesterday, and enemies in your mind, it doesn't say that, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, or the works of your mind, yet now hath he reconciled. Now, if all things were created by him and all things exist for him, then there can't be anything other than the determined will of God. For anyone to think there's a permissive will denies that it's finished, denies the mystery of God. And if they think there's a permissive will, it follows automatically that they have to believe in free will. Do you understand that relationship?
Say that again.
If you believe that there is a permissive will of God instead of a determined will, then it follows that you will believe in free will. Because that puts you in the picture in its position of control where you even can say, I am second. No, you're not. You don't exist.
Oh, yeah, I am second.
I see. There's billboards all over the place.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, it means that Jesus is first in my life and I am second. It sounds so wonderful, but it's pure apostasy. You don't deny Jesus by saying he doesn't exist. You deny Jesus by saying you exist. In thought, in word, or in deed.
Yeah.
Got it? Amen? This is kind of big. Let's go back to Luke. Well, I'll tell you what. Wait, there's a whole lot more. On this Council of God. But we will stop because I don't feel like talking to anybody. Anybody have any response to any of this? Anything rise up within you?
I wish you'd keep going.
Yeah.
I don't feel like talking anymore.
So what? Talking anyway.
Blah, 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 blah. Well, you want me to sound like the rest? We could spend the rest of the time in small talk.
No.
Huh? You want to do that?
Nope. You got all this stuff that God has created that looks like just extra stuff that has nothing to do with his essential purpose.
There's nothing in the universe that doesn't have to do with it.
Yeah, and so it's like the baptism. You can't even hear those words or think about it in your mind. Your mind doesn't have the gears to comprehend that.
The only thing your mind can conceive of. Well, come now, let us reason together. The highest that your mind can take you is that your sin is as scarlet. You've missed the mark in every aspect of your life. That's what sin means. You've missed your own mark, much less God's, in every single aspect of your life, in relationships, in raising children, in business, in education, in friends. You've missed the mark in everything. And there is no mind that cannot perceive that. That's what has to be perceived in order for there to be repentance. Come now, let us reason together. The highest that reason can take you is my sin is as scarlet. The highest that any form of mental activity can take you, if you have any integrity, is chaos. But you stop it, just like your little sexual fantasies. You have some fantasy in your mind about sexual activity, but you never have to wake up next to her, or him, or whoever it is. Do you understand how the relationship, the same thing? You have all these grand, sweet thoughts. And so you're already, once you have that, once you give those any breath, then you're already in debt. A debt that can never be paid because your imagining of it is so much greater than the actuality of and its actualization. And 99% of the time, it's never going to be actualized anyway. My campaign manager when I ran for the legislature was Sam Wiley, and I started to read this article in the paper, and it said he died, was killed in a car crash, but it was his brother, Charles, who I was closer to than I was to Sam. But they had everything. They're billionaires. The last time Sam talked to me, we were in a restaurant, and he and I were just jibber-jabbering. And I said, Sam, is all of this money you've made ever brought you any peace? He got this sad, sad look on his face. I said, no. Anyhow, don't take these words lightly. Take it, big guy.